We're just saying, Yibaneh HaMikdash, may the temple be rebuilt. Ir Tzion Temalei, the city of Zion should be filled. V'sham Nashir Shir Chadash. And there we will sing a new song. You will notice this is a recurring theme in Psalms. We're looking for new songs. Ordinarily, we're very comfortable with that with which we're familiar. We like listening to music that we know. We know what's coming. And yet, there's also room for a new song. You guys are embarking on a path, on a journey in Machon Meir. You're starting a new song. You're starting something which will impact generations to come. And if you think about it, most of you can trace your history and your family to someone who also embarked on a new path. And that's why you ended up with a desire to come back and start a new path. But think of the amazing thing that's happening in this room, in this group. Every one of you is propelling a family. You're getting the roots to build future generations to come with a new song. Well, it's a new song that's old, right? But it's your song. It's different than anyone else's. And we say in Torah, there are things that have to be uncovered, and God made it that every Jew's soul is connected to the Torah, and there are parts of the Torah that no one can discover but every one of us. Meaning the Torah has limitless depth, understanding, knowledge, and God created the world in a way that every Jew's soul has a part of Torah that only he can uncover. No one else can uncover. And that's why if you notice something that you find interesting, you don't see any commentaries who point it out, take a notebook, start writing down your thoughts. Over time, you'll learn more. You'll start seeing which thoughts are worth saving and which should be discarded. But be open to the fact that really there's a part of the Torah that only you can discover. And now that we're sitting here so close, it's unbelievable. I'm turning around. I see the Kotel right there. You know, if we think about it, how many generations didn't know what the Kotel looked like? They prayed for this minute that we're sitting here. We take it for granted. I think most of the people in this room were born when we already had the Kotel in our possession. You know, pretty amazing thing. We take it for granted. I want to challenge you. Quick question. We know in Shmona Esrei we have concluding blessings, right? Baruch Ata Hashem Chonein Adat. Baruch Ata Hashem Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael. There's one blessing in Shmona Esrei that appears in benching as well. Which one is it? What's the blessing? Baruch Ata Hashem Bonei Yerushalayim. Hashem who builds Jerusalem. What? Bonei Yerushalayim. Some say Verachamav, some don't, right? There are two customs. Now, notice that the word Bonei is in present tense. It's not past, it's not future, it's present. We view the building of Jerusalem as an ongoing theme of the world. The world is in a process, we're headed there. It's constantly in process. That when there were the great Prussian wars, they sent a question to the Chasam Sofer, who should we pray for? Both sides were anti-Semitic. Both sides had pogroms. Who do we want should win the war? So the Chasam Sofer wrote back, he said, we don't pray for wars to end because we believe that all wars are propelling the world in a direction back to Zion, back to the rebuilding of Israel. We don't understand the wars, but we say Hashem ish milchama. Hashem is the master of wars. And he's using the wars to shift the world in a direction that brings us back to Israel. So when we stand here, we take it so simply as we have the Kotel, we have Jerusalem. Do you know where the name Yerushalayim comes from? Where does that name come from? Right. So Abraham goes up the mountain for the binding of Isaac and he calls the mountain Yerah. God will be seen through this mountain. Shem, the son of Noah, calls the mountain Shalem. So the Torah fuses the two, makes peace and calls it Yeru Shalem. That's why in Tanakh, other than five exceptions, Yerushalayim is written without the Yud. It's always written as Yerushalayim. Those five exceptions need to be discussed. So, we're standing here by the holiest place on earth. And our sages teach us that all blessing comes to the world through there. Wherever we pray all around the world, we always face Jerusalem, right? Many people think it's Mizrach. No, if you live in the south, you face the north. If it's in the north, you face the south. What?
That is Mizrach.
Well, no, if you're north of Israel, you have to pray south. The Jews that lived in Syria would face the south. That you would pray west. The Jews in Africa would pray north. Right? It's not only Mizrach, but we always face, all our prayers are facing through here. So what we're seeing here is the meeting place of heaven and earth. It's where Hashem says, you want us to meet? You want to talk to me? This is where I am. The highest court, the highest masters of Torah would be here. You want to know God's word? This is where you go. The prophets would all start here, as we discussed in the beginning of this week. So this is the meeting place. This is where our prayers go, are channeled up. And this is where God sends His blessing and His answers down. The meeting place of heaven and earth is here. Now, when a human built something, we always built from the ground up, right? But God builds from the top down. And that's why when God began the creation of the world, He started just there. We are about 70 steps away. Just beyond that wall, under the dome of the rock. Our tradition is that that's where God began the formation of planet Earth. From the holiest place, He formed downward to create the ball. Where was Adam's earth taken from? From the holiest place on earth. Think about it. We're standing here a mere 70 feet away from the place that Abraham, Yaakov Avinu had his dream. Yaakov brought an offering. King David, Adam. Adam brought his sacrifice there. Adam's earth was gathered from there. So this is the holiest place, and it's always been that way. God didn't reveal it initially so that the nations wouldn't use it as a pagan place of worship. So the Torah doesn't identify the Temple Mount. It gives hints, doesn't tell us where it is. Even though the rabbis knew, because going back from Adam and Avram Avinu, everyone knew. Even Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about it. But it wasn't overt. We kept it quiet. Because if the nations would have known how much we cherish that, they might have built a dome on the rock. Right? See what happened afterwards. Now suddenly they want it. You know, there are pictures on YouTube that show that when the Arabs bow up there, they face Mecca, and the not-so-holy part of their body is facing the Temple Mount. So, for us, this has always been the place from the time of creation. So, we are fortunate to be here, and I want us to conclude with one easy, simple thought. We say in Shir HaMalos, "Beshuv Hashem et Shivat Zion," God brings back the Jewish people to Zion. Hayinu kecholmim, we're like dreamers. We are now in the period where we read the seven prophecies, the Haftarah of the week from Tisha B'Av till Rosh Hashanah is called the Shiva Dinechemta. Seven prophecies of comfort. God is comforting the Jewish people after the great destruction of the temple. And you'll notice throughout that we are called B'nai Tzion. We are the sons of Zion. We said it in Ma'ariv tonight also. So that's our capital. That's like our mother. The whole Lamentations was about the destruction, the comforting of the mother. Look at how our children were destroyed. We are identified in the Song of Songs and throughout the prophets as the children of Zion. That's who we are. So this is like our mother. And now we're finally coming back and we're like dreamers. We look at it and it's as though it's obvious. And then we can be standing on the bus and thinking, boy, is it tight here. And didn't they import deodorant to this country? So suddenly your mind wanders to all kinds of inconsequential things. So King David said, he said, we want to ur'ei betuv Yerushalayim. May you merit to see the good in Jerusalem. I grew up in Chutz Lartz, but my father always told me, he always used to tell me, make sure to see the good in Jerusalem. Because you could be there and not see it. It's up to you what you see when you're here. So you guys are all embarking on this beautiful journey. It's up to us to see what's good. It says when the Jewish people left Israel, left Egypt, so God gave them a few mitzvot. Ve'lo yachelu lishtot mayim mimara. They couldn't drink any of the waters when they came to the place called Mara. They couldn't absorb any of the Torah. Kimarim Haim, because the Jewish people were embittered. And when a person is embittered, anything you give them is bitter. So we have to try and be happy. Work through the tshuva process calmly, happily. See the value in what we are accomplishing. Not be so hard on ourselves. See the good in Jerusalem. King David had many downturns. He wasn't straight up. You know, Rav Huttner, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, he was a disciple of Rav Kook Zatzal. He would encourage his students not to read biographies. He said, you read a biography, you hear this rabbi, started out, he knew the Shas at 5, he never had a bad day in his life, he was always calm and patient and pious, and you walk away thinking, that has nothing to do with me. You know, I'm reading about someone, I'm not like that. So he'd say, don't read biographies, because then you'll just be too hard on yourself. It's not realistic. A real biography would tell you that there are days that he woke up and he didn't feel like davening. There were times that he davened and he wasn't whole with himself the way he davened. There were times that he tried to sit down and learn and he couldn't focus. Big people have ups and downs. King David had terrible downs. We discussed them earlier this week. David HaMelech is the one who built Yerushalayim, and the message of Yerushalayim is Netzach, is eternity. We are a people who look out to eternity. We say we have time because we're connected to the eternal force and we believe we're headed in the right direction. And if it takes time, he's the boss. We don't have to have everything today. We can have instant coffee, but we don't have instant redemption. We don't have instant tshuva. Things take time. Good things take time. And that's the message of Jerusalem. We don't give up even though it takes time. You know, one of the first things the Reform movement wanted to take out of prayer was Jerusalem. They said, who needs Jerusalem? What are you guys all davening for Jerusalem for? We have our Jerusalem in Berlin. And we say, and today they make it into a song, Am HaNetzach, we're a nation of eternity. Lo mfached miderech arukah, we're not scared of a long journey. We've been on this journey, we're moving on this journey, now we even merit to see that we've made advancements in the journey. Think about it, for a millennium and a half, all they saw were pogroms. They didn't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. That's why they went for the false messiahs, Shabtai Tzvi. We merit to see, you guys are talking to me about a Beis HaMikdash, right? As a reality. But we're blessed, we're fortunate to be here now. Now we have to just remember what we look at. There are difficulties, Machon Meir is a beautiful, wonderful place. But the beds are still cramped and the breakfast is not the Cheerios you're used to from the States or wherever you're coming from. And the toast is not exactly what you're used to. And I don't know if any of you ever had a shakshuka before. But yeah, things are different, right? It's not exactly what you're used to. You're sitting in the lunchroom and suddenly an arm goes in front of your face and you're wondering, is that what I'm going to focus on? That's your choice. It's your choice. Ur'ei b'tuv Yerushalayim. We have to try and see the good in Jerusalem and it's up to us to see it. And it's sometimes sweet and sometimes sweeter. But it's up to us to decide, are we going to be bitter or are we going to be sweet? And then what we taste is sweet. Tov, so let's begin.